The words we have in our first reading today are the last words, prophecy of Hosea. And it's an invitation, a call to repentance. Now both of these texts today, this one from Hosea 14 and our reading from the Gospel of Mark, toward the end, chapter 12, put the concentration on God alone. You know, the great spiritual masters, particularly of the Eastern Church, often reflected on, well, what's a normal human life? And what would normality be if it weren't for sin? And one of the things they think about is memory. We're starting to realize, you know, the influence of memory. When you work, as I'm happy to be doing right now, on understanding how to bring reconciliation between Christians and Muslims, for instance, the Pope has outlined this notion of the purification of memories, which is a very profound thing. It's that place where all the experiences of life that have affected us, physical, mental, spiritual, reside and form the backdrop and the contours of our personality. Now, when the ancients asked this question, what's a normal memory? You know what their answer is? It's the constant awareness of God. That's a normal memory. Now, these texts are based on that kind of an understanding. Why does the Lord say, "Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God"? Shuv. We've had this word before, right? Return. That's the key word in the Old Testament for repent. Return. Come back. Come back means pay attention. Listen, come back to me. Most of our day, we're living out at the tips of our fingers, right? We're getting this done and that done and interacting with this person and mad at this person and then turn on the radio and we're living out here. You know, one step up from Fido. And that's not a normal life. It's not where we belong. Shuv, come back. Come back. You have collapsed through your guilt. This is very interesting. Take with you words. Think of why you're going back. What are you going to tell the Lord when you get there? Oh, I'm sorry. I know you're sorry. Sorry for what? Do you trust me? Are you coming back here because, well, you better? Everybody says you ought to do this. Or because in you there is this deep hunger to be one with me. Say to him, forgive all iniquity. Receive what is good, that we may render an offering from the bullocks of our stalls. Because if we, these sacrifices that you told us to do, but if our heart isn't right, they are a stench in your nostrils, to paraphrase Isaiah. Now look, Assyria will not save us. Nor shall we have horses to mount. We shall say no more, our God, to the work of our hands. For in you, the orphan finds compassion. We've looked everywhere else. We've looked everywhere else. Assyria, Egypt, the work of our hands, our little idols. You know, we're coming back to you. And to describe God, they say, the orphan finds compassion. We're the orphan. We walk around like we have no father and mother. The abiding awareness of God is a normal memory. You see, the one true God. It's not Assyria. It's not the bank account. It's not this. It's not being popular. It's not being... It's God. It's God. Almighty, holy, glorious God is the source of all that we are. And so you see, that's why when this expert asked Jesus, what's the most important law? He says, this is the most important law, that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. That's normality. You see, if we're doing that, if we're living in the presence of God, we know what to do with the rest of the stuff, because God instructs us. That's a great discipline. Oh, boy. And it's not only a great discipline, it's an enormous grace. And the Lord, you know, we're so abnormal, excuse me, but you know that, that it takes the Lord years to normalize us. You see? I will heal their defection, says the Lord. I will love them freely. That phrase there is the word volunteer comes from that freely word there in this text today. For my wrath is turned away from them. And now look at these promises. Huh? If you will put all your eggs in one basket, me, this is what's going to happen to you. I will be like the dew for Israel. He shall blossom like the lily. He shall strike root like the Lebanon cedar and put forth his shoots. His splendor shall be like the olive tree and his fragrance like the Lebanon cedar. And again they shall dwell in his shade and raise grain. They shall blossom like the vine and his fame shall be like the wine of Lebanon. To whom is that promise made? The Catholic Church. If you would come back to me, you would be like the Lebanon cedar. And the Muslims and the Jews and the Buddhists and the Hindus and the atheists and the wounded and the ones who hate and the ones who hurt, they'd all come back. That's my plan. Would they all become Christians? Who knows? But they'd say, that Jesus whom they worship, he's the one. He's the one. They'd have respect for him, because they could see what he's doing for us. Ephraim, what more has he to do with idols? Our idols? You get a half hour today, sit down and write out a list of your idols. See, an idol is anything in which we place ultimate meaning. Could be my money, my bank account, my health, my popularity, my degree, my car, I guess, for some people. That would be a tough one. Anything in which we place ultimate meaning is our idol. My safety. Those are idols. Now, we don't usually pick a little stick up and say, there it is right there, but, you know, we're getting close. And, I mean, a lot of this occult stuff is like that. I'm trying to show you this text is for us today. You have to transpose it. You have to understand it. Okay. I am like a verdant cypress tree. In this translation, because of me you bear fruit. I think a better way you might pay. On me your fruit is found. That's the end of the prophecy of Hosea. And then, most probably, an inspired Holy Spirit moved editor sums up the whole book. Remember, this whole book is about God being a father. Chapter 11. When Israel was a child, I loved him. Out of Egypt, I called my son. I picked him up. I held him close to me. I held him close to my chest, my cheek. I taught him how to walk. This is God thinking about the way he related to Israel. To Israel alone? What about to the church? By the end of the first century, there were probably about 8,000 to 10,000 Christians in the whole Roman Empire. They could have been stomped out like that. But they weren't. Let him who is wise understand these things. Let him who is prudent know them. Straight are the paths of the Lord. In them the just walk. But sinners stumble in them. Why do sinners stumble on the straight path of the Lord? Ever think about that? I mean, it's a good straight path. It's flat. It's clear. You walk there. You know where you are. Everybody knows who you are, what you stand for. It's clear. Well, anybody walk out on that path, why would they stumble? Because they don't like that. They want to have a little bit of, you know, deceit, a little bit of power grab, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And so we stumble. This beautiful text, you see, is an invitation to normality. Now, all we can do is yield to the work of the Holy Spirit. There is no way we can make ourselves normal. We're too far gone. But the Holy Spirit will make us normal. But the key, my friends, the key of every human life is prayer. Turning to God, knowing God, trying to normalize our poor memory so that we are aware of God all day. Who's aware of God all day? The great mystics. I've mentioned that before, how Teresa of Avila says, you know, as she grew, she was more and more aware of the Lord all the time. And finally, it got to be that being aware of God and aware of the stuff she had to do were like two parallel streams inside her spirit, inside her mind. And then at that moment of transforming union, which is the goal of every human life, it happens here or hereafter. It has to. That's heaven. At that moment of transforming union, it all became one thing. Bargaining for oranges in the marketplace, wrapped up in contemplation of God, there wasn't a shift of gears. Normality. John of the Cross says, you see, we arrive a lot when we see, you see, God in all things, in a sunset, in a tough situation, in whatever. But the really mature person sees all things in God, because that's where they are. So that's the stratosphere, back down here on earth where we're trying to stay out of sin. What does it mean for us? It means prayer. It means listening. The Holy Spirit is pushing people. Almost every day during Lent, people are saying to me, it's the strangest thing. All of a sudden, I'm so much more aware of the Lord. He's telling me, don't do this, don't do this. He's telling me, you know, I'm asking Him more. Normality. He's inviting us to leave off sin and to enjoy His company. That's what it means, the Lord your God is one.